Good morning, everyone. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. Folks, this station is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, July 17, 2008. It's now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. This morning, we invite everyone who is listening to call in to 646-652-4620. This is open mic. Any question, doesn't have to be on the subject we're talking about. Please call in, ask the question. We'll banter. Anything that we do not handle now, we'll carry over to the next session. We will never leave you unanswered. Also, if you have any questions or comments, you can always send them to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you're listening to us on a rebroadcast or through our archives, you may phone in your comments if you wish to area code 918-919-0101. Well, good morning, everyone. And I also want to encourage everyone to go to our website and subscribe to our reminder service. We do not sell your name. We never give it out to anyone. It's perfectly secure. And all you receive is a little email saying that the broadcast will be such a time, such a date, and this will be the subject. And you'll even see my pretty picture. That's a little bonus, absolutely free of charge. Please do so. Go to the subscriber button on our website. And also, we have something new, and that's if you could indicate where you are listening from. We have a little map. It's on the left side of the website, and you can pin yourself on the map. You don't put your name or anything like that. Just pin yourself so we know where our listeners are listening from. Okay, now, I'd like to start off, as I usually do, recommending that every one of my listeners subscribe to the mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. And that two is a numeric two. Folks, if you're like me, you may watch CNBC News. I watch it very sparingly these days, just on and off out of curiosity more than everything else. I know what they're giving us is just psychobabble. It means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. This is entertainment. Like all of the news media we have, it is entertainment. It's human interest stuff. The fact is, and they will admit this, but then they don't follow through on it, is that we have in our economy a systemic problem. And that systemic problem is a financial problem that's been brewing since 1971, since we got off the gold standard, at least the gold standard for foreigners, for foreign exchange. And actually, this has been brewing since 1914, the start of the Federal Reserve. Folks, we do not have honest money. Look at the dollar bill in your pocket. It says Federal Reserve Note. I was in a coin store, coin jewelry store, whatever you want to call it, the other day, and they have an auction board. And on the auction board, they had a couple of, they have dozens and dozens of different types of numismatic coins that you can bid on, but they did have a dollar bill. Two $1 bills, but they were silver certificates. And the silver certificate said on them to the effect that the bearer of this note is entitled to $1 in silver upon presentation. And I actually got angry. Just think, folks, just think for a second. At one time, we had honest money. That piece of paper that the government printed it because it had its value's worth in silver. And also there were gold certificates as well, gold dollars as well. In fact, I have one hanging in my bathroom and I look at it every single morning. So our money was honest money. If anything, you can present it to the Treasury and they would in fact give you gold or silver. And in fact, our Constitution provides for our government only to coin gold and silver. Now, I will accept the fact that they have paper because no one's going to carry tons and tons of coins around with them, provided that piece of paper, and what the piece of paper represented, was a certificate, was a receipt, rather, for a certain amount of gold or silver at that particular price. That is honest money. Now, folks, I'll be honest with you. It doesn't have to be gold or silver. It could be seashells. It could be anything that people will accept at a certain particular point in time as at a certain value. Now, gold and silver are absolutely perfect for that because they are incredibly limited quantities. Gold is the most pure metal around. Silver is not as pure. That's why it's less expensive. But they both have international recognition as real money, as a medium of exchange. Now, if you look at our dollar today, it says this is a Federal Reserve note. You know, if you don't like it, shove it up your nose. That's basically, they don't say that, but I mean, that's basically it. It is worthless. It means nothing. All it says is this is legal tender. I can print the same thing on my computer and put down this is not legal tender, and you cannot tell the difference between the two notes, and they're worth the same. Only in one case, now folks, we're going to be talking about choice today. In one case, the government gives you no choice. There is no choice as to what you may use as a medium of exchange. It must be in U.S. dollars as a medium of exchange. And the U.S. dollar is just printed out of thin air. On the other side of a ledger is a bond that's created. Someone buys the bond, and then the government pays interest on the bond. So every time you take in a dollar from the bank, that dollar is worth less than the amount that you paid for it, because you have to pay interest on that money, and you have to pay the Federal Reserve, which is a private corporation, pay them for printing the money. So your money is never, and folks, let me say this, money is never worth what you paid for it. Now, isn't that horrible? It is never worth what you paid. In other words, it has to inflate. It continually inflates, and as it continually inflates, what that means is that your dollar is worth less than what it says it is. Now, what you must keep in mind is that when you work, when you provide services or goods or whatever you do for a living, the government, in fact, is saying, we're going to pay you less than you are worth, and you don't have a choice in that. We're talking about choice this morning. You have no choice in that. Now, this system has been criticized since 1914 by most economists, saying this cannot last. This cannot persist. There will be a day of reckoning. Now, they've been saying this such a long time that they've been crying wolf. And what is happening now? Well, there was supposed to be a crash of 79. Well, there was a crash in 71, and then there was a big downturn in the economy. Then once in the 80s, in a light one in the 90s, a super light one in 2001, 2002. And now, folks, may I predict the crash of 09. Even the Europeans are saying now that the U.S. financial system is so rotten that it cannot sustain itself. It is so rotten, it cannot sustain itself. Now, another reason why we don't have a choice is because most of the money that we make, believe it or not, most of the money we make goes into some sort of taxation. Now, people say, oh, I only pay 20% here and 10% there. Add up all your taxes, and you will find that after you complete with the federal tax, your state tax, your local tax, municipal tax if you have one, your sales tax, your excise tax, the gasoline taxes, you name it. I mean, we have a tax on everything. You get your phone bill, look at the taxes. There's a litany of taxes that no one seems to understand. When you finish paying your taxes, most Americans are paying over 50% of their income in taxes. And what this means is that you do not have a choice. You do not have a choice as to what to do with that money. Someone is making that choice for you. Now, one of the choices that that government is doing for you is they're spending $653 billion a year, at least that's booked, that we know of. By the way, that's on the booked expenses. You can double that probably as far as off-the-book expenses, especially since Iran and Iraq are involved. And folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. My name is Joe Cristiano. I hate talking to myself. Please, I know you're listening out there. Call in 646-652-4620. Wherever you are around the world, please call in. First caller today will get a Liberty Talk Radio t-shirt or coffee mug, whichever I have available for you. So please call in. So the government is taking half of your money away in taxes. They say, we will determine what we do with that money. We will determine what we do with that money. You have no choice. Now, the argument there is, well, you know, we voted for them and we have a republic and they make the decisions. We have an abusive government. And our Constitution says when your government becomes abusive, it comes time for the citizens of the country to rebel and reject the government and put in a new one. Now, I'm not saying replace the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or the Declaration. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about the bums in Washington who are stealing our money and then telling us how necessary it is. When George W. Bush lied about Iraq, what he did is he took money out of your pocket. He not only that, but he created the worst situation in the world for. He took people's lives. He says, your lives are worth nothing to me. I will send your sons and your daughters to their death. And why? To protect the U.S. currency. Remember, oil is black gold, and gold trumps everything. And they know that. The military-industrial complex needed a position in Iraq. They couldn't let that oil go. And they send your daughters, your sons, to their death. And even almost as bad, how many come back maimed, abused, and how many have even committed suicide? That, folks, is not choice. We have no choice because we sell, the government sells, the idea of war and the necessity of war to its citizens. And then the ultimate lie is when they say, you know, Johnny died for his country. I hate when they say that. If you knew how much I hate when they say that, I just want to scream. It just rips me apart. Johnny didn't die for his country, folks. Johnny died to protect the finances of the military-industrial complex. And most likely, unbeknownst to Johnny, he killed a lot of many innocent people. And I'm not blaming Johnny. He was doing his job. Folks, we got a systemic problem, and this systemic problem needs to be addressed. I'd like for all of my listeners to go online and go to my2centsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. That's Andy Sutton's free website where he has a free newsletter. He will outline to you what is happening. He's an economist. He is very good. He's the best in the business. Believe me, he's the best in the business. I know many of them. I've been studying this stuff for years. I've been in commodities now for 10 years knowing this was happening. Not that I was brilliant. I just looked at the big picture and said, we are in trouble. And I stopped listening to all the garbage and noise on CNBC News. In fact, a gentleman who used to be my financial advisor many, many years ago, he's about 90 years old now. Excuse me, one second, please. I visit him at the assisted living home, and I go there to give him a hard time. He's a very nice man. And he said he was so proud because the people he works with, the investment house that he works with, he said, you know, this is down 20%, this is down 15%, this is down 70%, and ours is only down 6% for the year. And I said, oh, I'm going to make you feel badly now because I'm up 30% for the year. He said, how did you do that? I said, I got out of stocks and I went into commodities. I went into something of value. Now this goes full circle. Remember, our dollar bill was something of value. During the Depression, the dollar was king because it was backed by gold. You can present it to the Treasury and they had to provide you with a dollar's worth of gold. At that price, I think it was $20.35. And please, anyone call in and correct me, it was something like that. And that, in those days, that was big money. It was as good as gold. Right now, it's backed by nothing. And that's one of the reasons why the price of oil is so high. Well, you know, when the price of oil is high and you fill up your tank, instead of it being $20, it's $40. You see, you lose your choice. You have lost your choice of spending that additional discretionary $20 that you put in your tank. You see what I mean, folks? We don't look at it that way. We don't look at liberty as something that's very personal, individual, something that we own. We own. It's not the government to give to us and to allow us to have. We own it. We are the governors, not the government. It's for, of, and by the people, folks. I almost want to cry when I say that because I get so angry when people say, well, what about this? I want to give you a couple of examples. And, oh, geez, well, I'm almost running out of time again. I really get emotional about this. I heard a politician, in fact, a politician that I like, and I won't mention his name at this point, but they asked him about immigration. And I'm on board with this guy with, I'd say, 75% of the time, which is very unusual because someone's better be really a freedom fighter to be on board with me or for me to be on board with them. And they mentioned immigration. He says, well, his only concern about immigration, he really wants open borders, but he's really concerned about, you know, it has to be controlled, you know, for the protection of us, you know, for communicable diseases especially. Now, I stood there, and as you can imagine, I am shaking in my seat, ready to explode. Now, I want everyone to understand, now this is again choice. Does a person have a choice to come to America? And we say no, because we don't know. We have to check you out to make sure that you don't have any, you're not bringing anything in that'll be harmful to us. All right, let me ask, this is the question. My wife says, well, why don't you ask him a question? She was sitting right next to me. And I said, I can't, because it'd be too disruptive and it'd be unfair. Because, unfortunately, I know more about this subject than this gentleman does. And I'm going to put him at a decided disadvantage. And it'll just be too bad. Or I should have, but I didn't do it. Let me go through the litany, what I would have asked him. Hey, how many people, congressman, how many people come in and out of the United States every day? Hundreds of thousands, millions? I really don't know the figure. I mean, if you take all the boats and, you know, all the boat ships that come in and all the planes that come in and people coming across the border legally, you know, all the people legally coming in every day. It's in the tens and hundreds of thousands every single day. How many of those people do we ever give a physical to before they step foot on our soil? How many? What percent? Try zero. Now, if we were concerned about communicable diseases, anyone who pulled up at an airport and was sitting in an airplane would have a physical before they'd come off the plane. So it's an invalid point. And what you do is you limit people their choice. You say, well, they're not Americans. Choice has nothing to do with U.S. citizenship. The Constitution never mentions citizens or the United States. It mentions people. It's a worldwide document, and that's the fear of the Constitution. That's why everyone wants the U.S. Constitution done away with, because they know it applies to everyone around the world, and that's the disheartening part of the whole thing. That's what really grabs me, is that people don't realize that, and they acquiesce to all of this government bull. All this government restriction and certification and licensing and restrictions and laws and taxes. And we say, oh, good thing the government is there. My God, why aren't we saying, get rid of these bums? I'm a free person. Why can't we see that? Now, let me go on with this analogy of immigration. People coming over the border, what kind of physical are they given? Now, if a person has a particular disease that's going to cause a real problem, we probably wouldn't be able to recognize it because we don't have any antidotes for it. We don't know it exists. So a person has this disease, this plague, right, that we can't arrest. And even if everyone had a thorough physical, they wouldn't be able to detect it. Unless the person was so sick, they're hacking and coughing and throwing up. Well, that person wouldn't be able to walk 200 miles across the desert to do a job. And if he showed up for a job, he wouldn't get it. They would take him and they would put him in a hospital and they would, you know, arrest him there. I mean, they would not arrest him, but they would confine him and find out what the problem is. But this person's already in. It's too late. You know, the subject doesn't make any sense. All right, now, let's say a person does come in and they have a physical, whatever physical it is, and they've determined, look at the guy, say, oh, it doesn't look like he's sick, you know, so they allow him in, they give him a green card or blue card or whatever stupid license crap piece of paper they give him, so he can legally now be legal, you know, so now he's legal in the United States, right? So he's here. Well, how good is that? How long is that green card good for? Well, probably 3 years. And he comes here, back and forth to the United States, to Mexico, Canada, wherever he comes from. Comes back and forth, Costa Rica, back and forth. Well, what if he goes back, he gets the disease, he comes back. He already has his card. He's been cleared. Do you mean every time a person comes back, they're going to have to give him a full physical? Well, no, they don't. How many people get a physical? No one. So we keep on instilling this fear in people, this fear. So we say, the reason why you do not have any choice is because we are going to make you fearful of choice. We should not fear choice. We should embrace choice. And we don't do it as Americans anymore. We fear choice. We may make the wrong decision. I make the wrong decision every day. I make hundreds of wrong decisions every day, and I know it. But they're my decisions. I made them. I'm a free person, and I'm entitled to make those mistakes. I don't need the government to tell me when to make that choice. When the government says, we're going to give you a stimulus check, what they're saying is that we are going to take the choice of your children away from them. We're going to limit their choices because they're going to owe this money back. So they won't be able to make the choice. They won't have the money. They won't have the resources to make that choice because we are going to give that choice to you now. And you have nothing to say about it. And the worst choice of all, folks, is the draft. I read an absolutely fascinating article by Michael Bolden. It's called A Military Draft, A Moral Abomination. And I want to read this to you because it's so well done. Arguments about military needs or benefits aside, it seems that there are always plenty of politicians who absolutely love the concept of mandatory service to the state. Now, see, he didn't say draft. He says service to the state. And we say that, well, so that sounds communistic. It's exactly what we're doing. You think these soldiers are not providing a service to the state? To these types, the government is America, and serving the state is equal to loving one's country. And that's how we fool people. We fool people into programs, believing programs are American. They're good. They're equivalent to apple pie. Chevrolet, was it Chevrolet, apple pie, and often in God and country and whatever? It says the 13th Amendment makes it quite clear that involuntary servitude is not permitted. In other words, when the government taxes you and they say, we're going to take your money so you do not have a choice, you become a servant of the state. Actually, you could make an argument that taxation, for reasons other than the absolute bare necessities of government, makes you a servant of the state and violates the 13th Amendment of the Constitution. He said the 10th Amendment states that any power not specifically given to the federal government by the Constitution is reserved to the states respectively or to the people. In short, since there's nothing in the Constitution that authorizes federal government to conscript, that's to take people, put them into, you know, to tell them to do to do something, in other words, join the army, it may not do it. Yes, the principle really is that simple and can be applied to everything else the feds do, but we'll leave that for another article, he says here. America was founded on the principle of individual liberty, that the government exists to serve, not enslave the people. The draft is a form of slavery. Period. That's it. Now, I know we don't have the draft, and the reason why we don't have the draft, folks, is because if we did, we'd have riots in the street. People would be going to Afghanistan and to Iraq and other places around the world where we no longer believe we have any business at all, and we would have another repeat that we had in Vietnam. Now, what we do is we sell the idea of serving one's country and the honor for doing so. My God, that's worse than the draft. I mean, we lie to people. And then they're killed. They're maimed. They're mentally deranged from being in service. They commit suicide. And then we say, they died serving their country. They died, folks, as slaves to this country. Choice? Let's think about choice this week. Let's think really hard whether or not, if we have a choice, whether or not we are making it, or is the government making it for us? I hope that gives you a little bit to think about, because it angers me. It should as much anger you. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. And remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Ron Paul has a little card on his desk with the saying, it says, don't steal. The government hates competition. What more could I say? Our next live broadcast will be Sunday evening at 8 o'clock. And we'll put on our blog what our subject will be and see if we'll have a guest that evening. I'm really not sure. I'm sorry. I should have looked it up. Until then, stay well. Stay tuned.